Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
Yes, you would be.
That's
on
right.
This really beautifully stunning day in Los Angeles on the 11th of January.
That's right.
We just got over some wicked rain that happened earlier in the week.
A little sunshine.
It's so typical, right? It's so Hollywood, right? Everything comes at one time, and
That's
it
right.
just poured down.
That's right. Although it was like 10 years where it didn't, so I'll take a little bit of it now.
Exactly. 10 years of rain in 15 minutes.
That's right. No kidding.
It was actually refreshing. I wish it would have been spread out a little more. But,
yeah.
You know, we're not... We should be glad it even came.
No doubt about it. I'll take every
drop. And help those fires as well.
That's right. And I know the firefighters up there fighting the Thomas Fire and the other blazes around the state. We're glad to have it, no doubt about it.
God bless all of them.
Well, Michael, as you say, here it is, January 11th, and we are finally starting to see that sun again here in Los Angeles.
That's right, Andrew. And it is a beautiful day to be out and about, and we have a great show to brighten up your day if you need a little brightening up. We have a couple of tremendous performers with us today. So let's get right to it. And first, I think we should just generally say who they are. The fabulous Nito Whitaker and Jeffrey Scott Parsons.
Yeah. Yeah. Welcome both. Welcome both. Glad to have you guys here.
Thank you. Thank you.
Nita, of course, joining us on the phone today. Nita, are you in a good, safe place?
Yes, I am.
I'm so glad to hear it. Thank you so much for being here today, and thank you, Jeffrey, for joining us as well.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
If you two can hold on for just a moment, we'll be back and talk to you both in just a little bit, but we're going to pay some bills first. Is that all right?
Pay those bills.
Cool, cool. We'll talk
Please
to you guys
do.
In just thank you. All right. Michael, shall we thank our sponsors?
You bet. We'd like to thank, ladies and gentlemen, our sponsor, Princess Cruises, for coming on board this year as presenting sponsor for State of the Arts. A pioneer in excellence on the high seas for meaningful travelers who seek enriching experiences, only Princess Cruises offers cruise vacations to help you come back new, providing fresh perspectives by connecting you with nature, cultures, and loved ones in a new way.
One of the best-known names in cruising, Princess Cruises, first set sail in 1965 with a single ship cruising to Mexico. Today, the line has grown to become the third largest cruise line in the world, renowned for innovative ships and an array of onboard options, including extravagant entertainment and an environment of exceptional customer service. A recognized leader in worldwide cruising, Princess carries approximately 1.7 million guests each year to more than 360 destinations worldwide aboard a fleet of 18 modern vessels.
Something else, huh?
No doubt.
We'd also like to acknowledge, ladies and gentlemen, PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources, for their support of this program. And that is sources in Southern California, Performing Arts. We're grateful to having Performing Arts Live on board with us.
No doubt. Such great people here in Southern California supporting the live arts and everything cool that's going on. Of course, there's been lots of great things going on. But, Michael, what I want to know is, was there anything great or unusual in your week?
You know, no.
Oh, that's a nice way to start the new year.
But there will be this evening, actually.
Shall we jump in and talk to our first guest here?
Yes, I think we should.
She's very patiently waited for us here.
Yes, she is. Ladies and gentlemen, our first guest has performed on stage as well as the big and small screens, recently adding producer to her list of credits. She produced a short run of the plays Dog Sees God and Rent, the musical, along with having co-produced four independent CDs, including her 2014 end-of-year holiday offering, Keep a Little Christmas.
This former Miss Louisiana and Hall of Fame Star Search Grand Champion, Hall of Fame Star Search Grand Champion winner, my goodness, has lent her voice to performances in intimate clubs and arena stages, as well as on the stage, television, and movies. She was the guest performer at the Freedom Awards, honoring Oprah Winfrey, President Bill Clinton, and actress Ruby Dee.
Just a few people in the house on that night,
I'll
right?
I bet.
Excuse me for clearing my throat. She sang duets with Andrea Bocelli during a winter tour and has performed with Josh Groban, Michael Bublé, and Chris Botti, to name just a few.
She has also recently added author to her resume, penning Finding My Voice, My Journey Through Grief to Grace.
We are so happy to have her here with us today to talk about her fascinating career, as well as her upcoming performance of I Got You Covered, Reimagined Standards on stage Sunday, January 14th, at Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal. Please welcome the incomparable Nita Whitaker.
Yeah.
Hello,
Nita.
Nita, you should know.
Hi,
Jeffrey
Scott. Hi, listening audience.
Jeffrey Scott Parsons is here clapping along and applauding you as well, so you should know you got another
Jeffrey
fan
Scott?
In the studio.
Hi, Miss Nita Whitaker.
We have to work together. What is going on that we're not doing this right now together?
I know. It's a shame. It is absolutely.
I know.
But you
we
know
have
what?
To change that.
One of my all-time favorite memories, you know, because we get roped into doing a lot of benefits.
Right.
You know, giving up our time, which is amazing because it gives us great opportunities to work with amazing people that we don't usually see. And I got to watch Nita literally blow the roof off of the Pantages.
Wow.
Singing.
Wait, she literally blew? Because they'll charge
literally.
You for that, man. They get
I mean, it's Art Deco, right? So it's a little expensive. And but, you know, it provided people with a lot of work.
Right. You got to do that here.
Absolutely. But that's the kind of power that Miss Whitaker
has. Now, what was the performance that she saw in?
She sang Big Spender. Didn't you sing Big Spender for the Michael Childers tradition?
For the Michael Childers. Uh-huh. Yes, we did.
And I did.
Thank you for remembering that.
No, of course. I did a little tap dance, I think, a couple numbers after that.
Wow.
And so I got to sit and listen
to her. A little tap dance.
A little tap dance.
There's no such thing.
I've never sat with you.
A little tap dance.
I can't tap. We all have our talent.
Well, Nita, obviously, we are here to talk about your upcoming performance, I Got You Covered, which I love. It's obviously a really cool title, and it says so well what you do. You bring these new reimagined standards in, and I saw a few clips of you last night. Just really amazing personality that you bring to songs that everybody knows from so many great artists of the past as well.
Thank you so much. I love this idea. And again, I think Michael mentioned it. It's kind of what I enjoy doing. I like taking a known song, and with my musical director, Nelson Cole, we sort of reimagine them, whether it was different rhythms or we change the arrangement a little bit. Try not to mess with the integrity of the song too much, but just to take it somewhere fresh, because you know we've all heard these songs 100,000 times, so who wants to hear me sing Unforgettable the same way? Of course, there's some things you don't mess with,
right.
But there are some songs you think, let's take a liberty with that, let's go here, oh, can we throw a samba rhythm on that song? And we just have the best time creating it, and the idea that our audience will hear the song differently and experience it differently through how we sort of reimagine it. So I'm very excited about. And there's some jazz standards. There's some American songbook standards. There's some pop standards. I kind of mix it all up, which again is what I like to do because I believe in gumbo. I really do.
Great. Now I'm hungry. Thanks a lot.
Really? I'm a Southern girl, and you know, you throw everything in the pot, mix it all up, and see what comes out, and it's usually pretty tasty. So
well,
that's what I'm hoping to do.
I think tasty is the key word there because you have got something pretty tasty on those keys on the piano, Mr. Nelson Cole. Nobody like him. And he has always been, he's been with you for a long time, hasn't he?
Yes, we've worked together. I call him my musical husband because he and I have a wonderful simpatico. He works with a lot of people, but he and I together, he knows my voice. I know that he has musically such a beautiful net that he creates for me. And when we co-create these arrangements, it is a collaborative effort, but he certainly is the one that executes it because his fingers are to the ivories.
Wow.
And it is a joyful experience.
It certainly
is. I mean that sincerely. And he's so skilled and such a kind, brilliant man that it's a delight to work with him.
Yes, he is. Always, always a class act. You and he
always.
Together, just something else. Nita, for the listeners today who may not be familiar with you, take us back.
And that could be because they are millennials.
yes. Take us back to really what kind of launched you, which was the original Star Search and your win in that program's talent pool. What an exciting time that must have been for you.
Indeed it was. And I'd like to tell this story because there is the element of never giving up and persistence that every artist who wants to be in this business has to have. I had auditioned four other times in four different cities to try to get a spot on the show. And the fifth time I auditioned was after I had just given birth to daughter Sky. And I went in on a recommendation of the great Sam Harris, who had won the show some years before. He said, do you want to get on this show? And I said, you know, yeah, but I don't think they want me on the show. He said, well, I'll just make a call and just tell them to look out for your tape, because you know, they were getting so many at that time. And I said, tape, I dated myself, didn't I?
Oh. It's okay.
So, yeah, I know, and I don't mind it. I think age is a beautiful thing. But so I go in and I audition and I get a call a week later, and I thought it was a joke because the other show that was on at the time was Big Break. Natalie Cole was the host.
Sure, of course.
And so I got a call from both those shows I auditioned for, and I thought, is this a joke that this is both happening? So I, of course, went with Star Search because it was well-known and had legs. So I get on the show. I have a three-month-old baby girl that I'm nursing, so my breasts were beautiful. And so I...
You know, I'm having one of those days right now myself, so it's all working out good.
New mom. So I remember thinking, okay, if I don't win, I just want to have a great performance. And so first, second, and I think I've tied a couple of times, and I thought, well, if I lose, at least I want to sing great. And so by the we got to the end of the that round, and I was undefeated. And wow. I was like, well, how did that happen? So it turns out that I'm the only female that has won all of the shows consecutively. Sam holds that for the male.
That's why
they call me the Hall of Fame. There's some kind of Walk of Fame, which I've never seen in Florida, I think. And I am that female winner because I went undefeated. I won 13 shows without being defeated, and then wow. I became the grand champion, which was no one was more surprised than me for that final number when I sang Piece of Sky.
Yes.
And I did. I said, either they're going to like me because it was such a Barbra Streisand pop number. Who am I singing a Barbra Streisand song? But I love the song. And against this other girl who was kind of rock and roll, thinking, oh my gosh, she's so cute, she's so hot, Reba Rice, who I still adore. And they called my name, and I remember I screamed myself a headache because I was completely shocked. But it was wonderful. So that was my beginning, and you know, it's the road to do this. The road to being an artist is not an easiest journey because did you get a record deal? No, I didn't. But I've been able to work. I've been able to grow. I've been able to impact people, and more than anything, I want my life to be about my work. And so that beginning for me was a door that let me work more and more. And I continue on this journey because I want to be a part of telling stories through songs. And I'm an actor as well. And finding other creative ways to express my gifts, whether it's writing a book or producing a show or creating a new album project, I have to have those things because they give my soul purpose.
Well,
and
that's
beautifully said. Totally,
and when I'm on a stage, same thing. I feel like it's a higher calling.
Well, that it is indeed. And you know, something else extraordinary I thought happened for you, and that was when Mr. David Foster came into your life and
yes.
took care
that
of
was,
you
that
there
was
and
quite a...
brought you out on the road and
yeah.
singing with all those
there
great
we go,
people.
There we go, dropping names, Michael. We're dropping names.
Yeah, but it's all good in a good way.
They're the right names. Though,
that's right. That's what we do
it's
here.
True.
As long as they're the right
well,
names,
he
nobody
been,
cares.
He, of course, started off being such a mentor and gave me many stages, and along the way over the years we became good friends, and he has been there for me, and I think I've been there for him. I sang at the service of his mother when she passed, and he came mm-hmm. and played a beautiful song when our beloved Don passed, and he has been one of my champions and one of my supporters, And like I said, I have nothing but wonderful things. He's a genius. I've been honored to work with him and be associated with the people in his sphere many of them have become my friends over the years. So he has been a blessing.
Well, including Michael Bublé, who I mentioned at the beginning.
Oh, Michael Bublé, yeah. Who wrote the foreword for my book, and yes. I sang at his wedding in Argentina. So those ties, because we all were there singing benefits together, he and me and Josh, were singing, with David for years before. And Josh popped out first, and then Michael popped out, and they became, really great names. But they continue to be friends to me, and we have a great reverence and respect for each other, and I think that goes back to that grounding that we had when we were together in those early days, and I'm so grateful for all of that.
Well, and you know what I'm grateful for, Nita, is that you and I are friends, and that you have annually yes. headlined for me for many years, and you always bring in the most diverse shows and the most beautiful experiences for the audiences.
Thank you.
And one thing that
Thank
I'm...
Thank
you. You're welcome. I mean that from my heart. And one thing that I'm always impressed by is your honoring, once again, the day before Martin Luther King Day. And that we've done for the past couple of years. We've just made the dates kind of work that way, mm-hmm. and you're doing it again.
Right.
And we have a track that I wanted to play of yours that done at a live performance that you gave, I believe, at the Crystal Cathedral. And because it is so inspirational in itself, the song, a very famous song, and I think it pays homage also in tying it into Martin Luther King Day. And of course, you'll remember this when you sang "Climb Every Mountain." So we want our listeners to hear this beautiful, beautiful. You talk about reimagined; it certainly is. It is a reimagined rendition of it. So, Andrew,
true, arranged by Mr. David Loeb.
Yes,
thank you. And here it is: "Climb Every Mountain."
Every mountain, search high and low, follow.
Wow.
Boy, oh boy.
Wow.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Thank you.
If you were sitting here right now, Need, I'd throw my shoe at you. That was live. That was a live recording.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah, right. Not only that, but the sound quality. Pretty impressive, too, that they got that live.
And the boys.
Oh, thank you so much.
And there was a big orchestra behind you. Such a beautiful combination.
But wow. She wasn't playing all the instruments, too?
No.
Oh, well, I just assumed that she was. So well, that takes it down a notch. My goodness. Now, Nita, where was that performance at again?
Is that the Crystal Cathedral, wasn't it?
Crystal Cathedral. Yes. What was it like
to work
there?
In fact, that song is in my show, in this show, but we've added another twist. So you have to come in here.
Lovely.
Yeah, we've added another little component that I think you'll really be nicely surprised by. But and it does speak to this weekend where we celebrate the great, amazing Dr. Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., because it is about the climb. It is never done. We continue to climb to reach our dreams, to try to look for and fight for and seek out good for all people and equality for all people. And so that certainly is a great setup to inviting people to come to the show on January 14th, this Sunday, 7 o'clock.
Absolutely. No, and people can do that very easily by going to brownpapertickets.com and purchase their tickets there in either the VIP section or the reserved general seating section. And the telephone number, you can do it by telephone if you don't want to do it online, is 800-838-3006, extension 1. And you will all have the opportunity of choosing your own seat of those which are available at this point in time. Again, 800-838-3006, extension 1. The cool part about calling to purchase a ticket is you can do it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There are live customer service representatives to help you, and they are some of the kindest people of any ticket agency I've ever worked with.
That's
so
right.
Do that and do it early, because Ms. Whitaker sells out, and we want you there. So,
and when you go to Brown Paper Tickets, be aware that she's done this date multiple times, so be sure that you're checking out 2017, because a couple of those old links pop up in Google. So you're looking for I Got You Covered, which is Nita Whitaker, and again, that's at Sterling's upstairs at the Federal, and that's January 14th of this year. So be sure that you're looking for that.
Hey.
Nita, thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Thank you.
Such a pleasure to have someone such as yourself on this program. So you know you're welcome at any time.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for having me and giving me a place to talk to your listeners. And I look forward to doing more in the future. And good luck to when is Michael's show? No, I'm sorry, not Michael.
Jeffrey's show?
Jeffrey's show.
Jeffrey, when is your show?
Don't tell her. Make her listen to the second half of the show so we know that we've got one listener out there. I'm building our audience one at a time. No, Jeffrey's show, of course, it's called Comfy.
Well, we
want
to be supportive too. So, thank you so much for having me. So
sweet of you. And that's, of course, Jeffrey's show is coming up on January 22nd.
That's a week after your show.
Right after your show. In fact, we want to keep you in town and make you. We want to keep you around.
Back. Oh, good.
See, isn't that cool? We want to make you come back on the show one more time and find out more about what's going on soon. So, Nita, thank you so much. And wishing you all the best in 2018 for what I'm sure is really great things ahead.
God bless, Nita.
Thank you.
I'll see you on the weekend.
Congrats. Break legs.
Okie doke. Thank you. And bye, everybody.
Bye.
Such a great lady.
No doubt. My goodness. Well, and she speaks so well about so many things that she's done in the past. She's played at so many amazing venues, but you can tell she's got that sense of calm that you want to see in a performer who can just take on any challenge.
Right.
It's going to be really cool to see her in that intimate space.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, she's lovely, and she works hard in these shows, too. She just, those arrangements are, as she said, always so interesting with Nelson Cole, because he is so interesting. So I can't wait for that. And I can't wait for Jeffrey's show, too, because we've never had anybody like Jeffrey on our stage before. So we'll talk about that when we...
But we should say, too, I mean, this is a really cool group of shows we've got. We had John Lloyd Young to start off the new year, which was to end last year, I guess, which was amazing. And then, of course, Nita, who's so amazingly talented, and Jeffrey. And, of course, Third Mondays as well. So this is a really good group of four shows coming up.
And let me tell you about Third Mondays, just to remind people about it who might have not listened last week. This is a project for the Foundation of New American Musicals, And it is called Third Mondays, as Andrew just said. And it is Broadway legends and emerging artists perform musical theater songs from yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And the cast for this premiere engagement on January 15th is Heather Ayers, Kevin Bailey from Broadway, Yvette Kaysan from Broadway, Jonah Platt from Broadway, Tiana Okoye, I believe is how you say her last name correctly, mm-hmm. Monday, January 15th, and that is at 6:30 p.m. doors with a performance between 8 and 9 p.m. And also, Brown Paper Tickets, of course, handles that for ticketing, brownpapertickets.com, or simply call them at 800-838-3006, extension 1. And this is in benefit of that foundation, so your ticket is going to them for their ability to be able to produce additional work and work on new American musicals and try to bring them to the stage.
And, of course, we talked about that last week with the great Michael Donovan, and so many good people involved, Kevin Bailey, of course, here as well, behind the scenes of that,
right,
to really promote new musical works in
exactly.
America. Yeah,
and that, too, is at Sterling's upstairs at the Federal. And this is kind of one of those days where we're doing lots of stuff about Sterling's, at least on this show.
As we should. I love starting the year off with cabaret stuff. I think that's a really cool thing. And you guys have been so busy over there. Lots of good things going on.
Yeah.
But that's not the only show or the only venue, of course, playing such amazing things here. Should we do a live arts calendar and talk a little bit about something else?
We should. Absolutely.
Let's go ahead and do it. Bringing to life the Jules Verne masterpiece, North Coast Rep, right? North Coast Rep. Boy, that's a lot. I had a whole lot of S's in the other one, too. Bringing to life the Jules Verne masterpiece, North Coast Rep, takes audiences on an unparalleled adventure with their production of Around the World in 80 Days.
Stampeding elephants, runaway trains, unbridled humor, join fearless adventurer Felicia Hoggs. Foggs. No, I said that wrong. Felice Foggs. Is that what you're saying?
I think so, yeah.
All right, Felice. It's an
Felice Fogg.
Yeah. A fog, yeah. What an unusual name. In the original Great Race, circling the globe alive with danger, romance, and comic surprises at every turn.
In the hilarious theatrical style of the 39 Steps, five actors portray 42 characters in a thrilling race against time. Grab your family, your passport, and book passage now on this outrageously funny adventure that the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel calls ingenious, somewhere between Monty Python and Groucho Marx.
Come and see the show that the New York Times calls a fizzy and winning production. Around the World in 80 Days runs now through February 4th. For tickets and more information, visit northcoastrep.org or call 858-481-1055. And where is this actually?
It's in beautiful Solana Beach.
Solana Beach.
Oh my gosh.
And it's they've been there for a little while now and actually establishing themselves as a really reputable and quality house. A lot of good. Have you ever worked there?
Yeah, I've done a couple shows there.
What shows did you do there?
I did Dames at Sea.
Oh, how great.
And Romance. It's a smaller space. So mm-hmm.
I don't
do
know Romance
shows.
Romance.
Yeah, it was Scott Bakula.
Wow.
Did the original Broadway version.
Very cool.
With Allison Frazier. And
he's so great. Great
yeah,
musical performer.
But they do a lot of these great little shows, and then it's in this beautiful location, so I highly recommend going to check that out.
Very cool.
Well, you know, that was the very first motion picture that I ever saw in a movie theater.
Really?
With my grandmother took me on a bus or a train from Orange County to Los Angeles, and it was downtown at one of those great big movie theaters, and I was awestruck. I mean, I was so little. I mean, I think it was 5 or 6 or something like that. It was amazing.
That's great.
The movie was amazing.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, we have a very fine-looking, amazing dancer who has been very patient. Shall we give him
dancer,
his proper
singer,
due? Dancer,
actor.
Singer, actor,
he
no
does
doubt
it all.
About it. Everything, including so many other things that we'll talk about now. One of Southern California's premier song and dance men. Our next guest has made a name for himself as a true triple threat. His work strives to pay homage to the legends of musical theater history, advance the art form, and establish new generations of theater-going audiences. Regionally, he has been seen as Billy Lawyer in the 42nd Street, Phil Davis in White Christmas, and Dick and Dames at Sea, as we just discussed here, as well as many other productions of West Side Story, Cats, and I Only Have Eyes for You.
For his performance as the MC in Cabaret, Gray. He was nominated by the San Diego Critics Circle for the Craig Noel Award, Outstanding Lead Performance in a Musical. He recently starred as Molina in Kiss of the Spider Woman, which garnered a Robbie Award nomination for Best Actor in a Musical. In both L.A. and San Diego, he was the opening act for Tony Award winner Donna McKechnie's one-woman show, Same Place, Another Time.
As a proud Plaid, he has appeared in numerous productions and tours of both Forever Plaid and Plaid Tidings across the country. He is a member of the Los Angeles Musical Theater Guild, for which he oversees the educational outreach program that brings hundreds of students to the theater every year free of charge.
He is joining us today, ladies and gentlemen, to tell us a little bit about his upcoming performance, Comfy, which will be on stage Monday, January 22nd, where? Oh, at Sterling's upstairs at the Federal. Please welcome the super talented Jeffrey Scott Parsons.
Yeah.
Thank you. I love how quiet those great people. They applaud.
Very respectful audience.
And then they're quiet the rest of the show.
We have them trained so well. We audition our audience members just to make sure they clap at the right time.
We bust them in. They don't complain about anything. No.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you've probably seen this man's work one place or another. He has toured. How many times have you toured with Forever Plaid?
Oh.
Or Plaid Tidings as well.
Yeah, three times?
At least three, yeah. It's amazing. I found a few clips of you and different things like that, but it's interesting to see that, you know, that does become a huge family of people who know that show and do that show. It's interesting to look at. What was your experience with it like?
Oh, Plaid is so dear to my heart because it's about losers. You know what I mean?
How am I not in this show?
Well, it's just these lovable guys who find a family together, not just because they're kind of misfits, but because they make glorious harmonies together. And I think that that's really what has made the show have some staying power, is that strong bond, not only musically, but emotionally that those guys have. And I feel that way about all of the Plaids that I've worked with. There's a brotherhood that really bonds you for life. Particularly David Engel, who's another song and dance man here in Southern California. He was an original Plaid, and I learned the show from him. And then we've done many productions of White Christmas together. Just recently at Musical Theater West, and then for like 4 years before that at San Diego Musical Theater.
Wow.
So there is this really strong bond that lasts way much longer than the curtain coming down, you know?
Well, it's, you know, such a wonderful thing to have someone be a triple threat to begin with, because there's not a lot of them that are so outstanding, and you're one of them.
Thank you.
And, you know, we know that here regionally in our fair state of California.
No doubt about it.
The country. And to be connected to a show like Plaid's, which is such a charming, and it's a show that will always be around. It's such a charming vehicle. And it's a cool story. I mean, it's a jukebox musical, but it was kind of one of the early ones, I think, that actually happened. I know that
Absolutely.
I saw it on its debut in Los Angeles at the Cannon Theater.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And was, I think, with the original cast
with
of
all
it.
Four, yeah.
Yeah. And
they ran there a while.
Yes, they did. I think over a year. So, you know, you get a good... nothing. It's like what Nita's going to do with her reimagined standards. Those songs are all standards from Forever Plaid.
Absolutely. I have a really special story from one of the productions of Plaid. There was an older woman that I knew who was suffering from Alzheimer's and was in a nursing home and like family to me. And some of her children brought her to see Forever Plaid, and she was sitting, you know, holding her son and her grandson's hands. Probably couldn't tell you what their names were, but she knew all of the lyrics to all of the songs in Forever Plaid. And I thought, wow, if that isn't a testament of the power of music that goes, you know, far beyond what we know of medicine and but really gets to something that strikes a chord with your spirit, you know? And that was the last outing they had together before she passed away.
You continued talking to the family after?
Of course, absolutely.
Oh, my goodness, that's amazing.
And it really did kind of just solidify this thing in me that, you know, regardless of how old the songs are or whether or not I grew up with them, there are audiences out there that already have these deep connections right. to songs that need to be heard and need to be revisited and need to be kept alive.
Well, and that's such a great metaphor, too, not only for musical theater, but for so many things that we do as performers. Whenever you're in front of somebody, you have a chance to touch somebody in a way that you don't even know how it affects them. And absolutely. I think that is something that we see through musical therapy and so many things that people are researching now, is that that really is an important part of our souls that may have been ignored for far too long now.
Absolutely. So, yeah. And isn't really measurable, but no less important.
Now, if you could design something that could measure that, scientific genius, man. You sell that all over the world.
Right?
Then you could stop performing and dancing all the time. You know? Tell you, man. Stop being a song and dance man. Start being
right?
a scientist.
Let's be a scientist.
We want to talk about now, Comfy. What a great,
yes.
great title. But you started to
Thank
tell
you.
Me a little bit before the show about where this title came from. And I love so much because you're sitting here today looking very dapper.
Thank
but
you.
But this is not the only Jeffrey there is. There's a very comfortable Jeffrey. Is that right?
Absolutely. I tend to live most of my life in sweatpants and and hoodies and Nikes. But I think that a lot of dancers do, and a lot of Los Angelens do. If you go to Starbucks, I think you're much more likely to see a parade of Lululemon than you know
so true.
Than something else. But I have always, even when I was little, I had a big time aversion to itchy fabrics.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little high maintenance.
Not a big burlap guy, are you?
Not so much. And,
or wool.
And what's crazy is I was a farm boy, so I was always around hay, and like getting hay in your shirt was
right.
just absolute torture for me. And the more that I thought about that, I was like, okay, so I was obsessed with, you know, having everything really comfy, and yet I chose to have a career where most of the time I'm in a tuxedo sequins with metal strapped to my feet, like the most uncomfortable thing you could do, and then do it in front of people.
Right.
So where is this like juxtaposition coming from? And that's really what I explore in my show is, you know, sometimes what takes us out of what of our comfort zones is what means the most to us and ends up defining us.
Absolutely true. Good way of saying that, because I think as performers, anytime you're wearing a mic pack, it's awfully hard to be comfy.
The mic pack.
Isn't that worse?
And
especially as a dancer, I can imagine.
And now, if you're doing a dance role, they're always terrified that you're going to sweat out the mic.
Right.
So then you wear two mic packs.
That's right.
And you're like, where do I put these? And so you shove them up in your armpits and it looks like, that's what I've decided, is that if you put them under your armpits, then it looks like you have these amazing lats. You know, like you've been doing pull-ups.
Boy goes to the gym.
Exactly. Like, wow, look at that V. He's a svelte dude. But no, truly, it is a little uncomfortable for
That's
sure.
That's funny. Jeffrey, when did you realize that you wanted to sing and dance?
Oh,
and when did you even know that you could do this?
It bit me hard
yeah?
and very young. For sure. My family's very musical. We're kind of Mormon Von Trappish. Osmonds. What am I talking about?
The
Osmonds.
Von
we're the
Trapps.
Osmonds.
Right, yeah, exactly.
How many brothers and sisters
There's
do you have?
Five of us. I'm smack dab in the middle. Two above, two below. And so we were always singing. I loved dancing. Dancing came on pretty early. But I remember my parents going with my brother as chaperones for like a high school choir trip.
Wow.
And they came home with a cast album of Phantom of the Opera, and I sat on the kitchen table with that like cassette tape and just listened to it and would read the words as they were singing them and picturing it in my mind. And that idea of musical storytelling was instantly addictive to me. And then gave way to, you know, musical theater and a great career in community theater as a child. But also I was a very good student and had very good grades and made a deal with my mom pretty early on that whenever we had these parent-teacher conferences and things throughout school, that we were just going to say I was going to go and get my MBA and get a business degree, and knowing full well that I was absolutely headed for the arts, because it was too much to explain.
Right.
We always had administrators being like, well, but you have, you know, don't want to put that mind to good use. So. and very condescending. So everybody was on board. I had a very supportive family, have a very supportive family, and couldn't be more grateful for it.
Now, well, lucky for you.
Tell me about the country fair.
Yeah.
Oh, the okay. Okay, so it's actually a county fair.
Okay, excuse me. I didn't mean to exaggerate.
Get it right. I tried real hard to find something that I liked when I was younger. And I think when you know, my parents, when they have five kids, they do want to help each child find something,
right?
That's theirs.
I know that,
right?
So well. You want to help your kids out early on, no doubt about it. Yeah.
So we tried soccer and karate and
he laughs.
T-ball. Well, karate was like one day.
Are you joking? Your cover here is a karate kick, man. I mean, I understand that you're a fantastic dancer, but just like Elvis, you have utilized your early karate training quite well.
Look, that turnout does not come from karate. Okay. But so I tried all these things. I tried T-ball. What else did I try? I can't remember. But none of it stuck. None of it worked. And then one day we were at the county fair, once again, farm town, Utah. That's where I'm born and raised.
That's the name?
No, it's called Willard.
Willard.
But like who
just, yeah.
No one's gonna know.
I know.
But I love it dearly. And so we decided to go to the county fair where we're looking at, you know, the cows and such. And there's a clogging team performing there. Now, I don't know if you know what clogging is. Most people think of it as Irish step dancing, which I think that's where its origins begin. And there's almost like a flamenco type mm-hmm. influence as well. But what it is it's like tap dancing, but with two taps loosely connected on your toe and on your heel. So they have a jingle mm-hmm. when you kind of move them around. And I saw the team up there in their petticoats clogging, and I turned to my parents and I said, "That's it." And God bless them, they were like, "Okay." And so I signed up for clogging and was a competitive clogger for a good portion
wow.
of my childhood.
Wow.
And had lots of sequin costumes. So, I mean, it hit on all of my wants and desires. I loved it. But of course there isn't a lot of clogging opportunities outside of the world of clogging, so it naturally gave way to tap dancing. And I always compare the two. Like, tap dancing is to clogging as good golfing is to bad golfing. So if you're a bad golfer, there's lots of divots in the ground.
Right.
You're just basically, you're hitting more ground than you are ball.
Right.
And that is kind of clogging. Clogging, you're just digging into that ground and
wow.
being pretty aggressive in your technique. Tap dancing is a little more delicate. You're gliding.
So now, with regard to your career and how, and the forecast of it, do you want it to contain other elements such as television and motion pictures? And do you have that opportunity? Did you pursue that opportunity?
I don't really pursue it very much. I have had a few opportunities to do some work on TV and film, and it's enjoyable. I actually enjoy the writing aspect, mm-hmm. which is one of the reasons why I wanted to do Comfy, was because I wanted to write.
Mm-hmm.
And so to kind of write an autobiographical show and have a script and kind of craft the music around the storytelling was very appealing to me. So the TV film projects that I would have my sights set on are probably a little bit more behind the scenes, a little more from a writing standpoint.
Do you think that, do you feel that you have some ideas inside of you that just need to get out, and
oh,
that'll be the...
absolutely.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
And I think that, you know, when you decide to be an artist for a living, the minute that you decide this is what I do and this is only what I do is the moment that you probably are going to burn out. And what really is kind of staying power is the ability to tap into your creativity no matter what it looks like.
Yeah.
For me, I love...
Pardon that pun.
I love singing, and I love dancing, and I love acting, and I love... But I also really enjoy just creating these stories. You know, I'm right back there on my kitchen counter at home following the words and music and dreaming what it looks like in person. So that's very attractive to me, and I see it gaining and growing the older I get.
Wow. You know, excuse me, he just said dreaming about stories and things, and we've come to that time in the show where he might be able to tell us a story, right?
Oh, my goodness.
And now, embarrassing moments.
Oh, I have so many, though.
That right there was our entire budget for 6 years. That was saved up all our money to get that nice voice guy to do that.
Hidden behind the audience to applaud was this entire orchestra. That's,
you had no idea, see?
All that brass fanfare was just so surprising.
Tell
okay,
us,
so yeah. What? Okay, give it to me. I'm ready.
Yeah, we want you to kind of just dig deep and tell us something that it could either be funny, it could, uh-huh. it could be sad, it could be weird, it could be anything that you want it to be, but something that happened to you, something that was profound, that maybe even crossed your mind, like, oh, okay, I can't do this anymore. I'm humiliated. I can't be in shows.
For sure. Okay. Look, this is going to be an interesting one. Ready?
Right.
So I, and I talk about this in my show, I was a Mormon missionary. I served for 2 years. I'm the real life Book of Mormon guy. And on my mission, I had, if all you know is about missions is from the musical, I hate to tell you, it's not entirely accurate.
Really? Right.
But you have several mission companions throughout your tenure. And one of my mission companions, he was not completely well physically. Mm. He had originally served in South America, and because of medical issues, had to be brought back to the United States where I was serving.
Wow.
So that he could be under, you know, more easily and
accessibility to healthcare. Yeah, absolutely.
To healthcare. Yeah. So we're working together for the first week. We're working together, and this great family invites us over for dinner. And we're very excited. He doesn't speak Spanish very well yet. I was a Spanish-speaking missionary. And so we're sitting at this table with the hermana, the woman, and her children, enjoying this meal. I'm not going to lie, it was a little dry. The meat that she served, the protein that she picked, was on the dry side. So I'm trying to keep the conversation alive because he doesn't speak very well, and he's sawing through the meat. And all of a sudden, I look over, and he's purple.
Oh, no.
And I realize he's not coughing, which is the problem.
He's not a Muppet, right?
He's not a Muppet.
Okay, so that's not a good sign if you're not a Muppet. Right.
Right. You're purple and you're a Muppet.
Then it's okay.
Then we're good.
Perfectly normal.
But he's purple and he's not making any noise, and I realize that he's choking. So I'm like, this is happening. Here we go.
Wow.
I get him up and I give him the Heimlich. And I do it three times. I go one, I do two, I do a three, out comes the food, and he farts.
Oh, no.
The ultimate.
That's a trifecta right there, my friend.
This is the first time we've met these people. This woman, the look on this poor woman's face, that number one, she almost killed a servant of Jesus Christ. And number two, that same servant passed gas at her dinner table. And then we just had... Thank you, Trump. And then we just had to sit down and, like, go back to talking.
You just tried to finish the meal.
I was like, so that was fun, you know? And then we continued on. But I think because that happened to me when I was 19, right? And that whole experience of serving my mission just is another example of how pushing myself out of my comfort zone has set me up for this career.
And you can not be comfy at times and still be okay.
And you'll be okay. And that's not right. Only will you be okay, you'll laugh about it.
And you'll get through anything on stage.
You'll be on the radio talking about it, and it will be hilarious. And I think that's really beautiful, you know?
Well, next week we're bringing that lady on to hear her side of the story.
Right. Oh, my gosh. Poor hermana. She will not know what to say.
Have you ever had contact with her since then?
No.
Yeah?
No.
So you were a missionary for 2 years?
Mm-hmm. 2 years, from 2001 to 2003.
Wow.
And why did you... I mean, is that all you signed up for, or you just kind of gave it up?
No, 2 years is usually what the calling is. So when I decided to go, the call came, and it was for 2 years. It was in Texas as a Spanish-speaking missionary, and I was gung-ho and ready to go, and I learned so much, and it was so profound, and is really responsible for the convictions that I still have to this day, and I still go to church, and as complicated as it can be sometimes in our arts lives and our personal lives as well, yet something else that isn't always comfortable to talk about with people, but incredibly profound and important to me.
Well, and something else too, I dated a girl who did her Mormon mission directly after high school, and I remember that when she left, I remember thinking, there's no way she gets through this. She was pretty flighty. She came back with such a work ethic, and I thought it was interesting. When you get that kind of focus, when you have a clear-cut purpose for 2 years, it's amazing how much dedication that gives you for your own career, whatever you pursue after.
Absolutely. Well, and think about what we tend to do with the years of 19 to 21.
I don't remember most of mine. So.
Exactly.
And for mine, I was waking up at 6 every morning and getting dressed in my white shirt and tie and
saving lives at the dinner table
and serving people and loving strangers.
Yeah.
People that you'd step outside the door and you'd be filled with all of this love for people you haven't even met yet. That's a really amazing thing.
What a great way to put that. Yeah. The man you're listening to now is Jeffrey Scott Parsons. Where can people find out a little more about you? Obviously, they want to find out about Comfy coming up here. We'll give that information. But just personally, if they want to follow your career, where can they find you?
I am on social media at Jeffrey S. Parsons, J-E-F-F-R-E-Y. S. Parsons, P-A-R-S-O-N-S, on Twitter and Instagram. And if I'm on Facebook, too. So.
And, of course, if you zip over to our Facebook page, L.A. State of the Arts, you'll see a picture of him dancing with a plunger and gloves.
Yeah.
That is
pretty
impressive.
In a tuxedo, though.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. We want to thank both our guests. We want to remind you that Comfy is coming to Sterling's upstairs at the Federal Monday, January 22nd. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. Of course, you walk in. You get yourself some delicious food there at the Federal Bar and Grill that we love. And the performance is from 8 until 9. Jeffrey's one of those performers who I can tell you right now, he's got some interesting stories and a lot of cool things that you'll get to hear from him.
And it's a multimedia show.
It is.
Very, very exciting. And then, of course, we have the lovely Nita Whitaker on the 14th of January performing her show.
I Got You Covered.
The Reimagined Standards.
That's right.
And with her musical director, Nelson Cole. And that is coming up very quickly.
January 14th,
yeah,
correct?
January 14th.
Now, that one's a little bit different. I think doors open a little bit earlier, 5:30 there.
Yes, that's a Sunday.
I think that they want people to come and start eating, you know, generally speaking, right after that. You know, you can order food fairly quickly after you arrive, but her show starts at 7 p.m.
Right.
So a little bit earlier there than Jeffrey's.
Exactly.
And, of course, we want to remind people about Around the World in 80 Days at North Coast Rep, which is one of our favorite theaters that's really been doing some great work lately. And so many good things going on in the Southland. Visit Performing Arts Live to find out more about those things.
And of course, one more time, I'll just say this because I'm proud of being associated with this project. Third Mondays in benefit for the Foundation of New American Musical Theaters. New American Musicals. And that is also at Sterling's Upstairs on January 15th. Brown paper tickets for everything that we've talked about today at Sterling's Upstairs. Just go to that site, look at what you want to look at here, and come see us.
But Michael, as you're always so well known for saying, you know, go see these shows, but above all, go see some shows. Get off the chair, get off the couch, put down that remote, and go see some amazing theater out there in the Southland.
Amen.
Michael, where do I get to see you again soon?
Well, next week. But thank you, Jeffrey, and that will be next week on the radio.
That's right.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.